scripture reading for the day is taken from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 29 through 32. We continue with the series of sermons on exhortations to be. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So far during this series, I have talked about being transformed, being filled with the Spirit, being strong in the Lord, and in today's scripture, Paul strongly encourages us as Christians to be kind and compassionate. Paul says that we should be this way and act this way toward one another. And that refers to fellow Christians, because this letter was written to Christians, to the church. However, I believe this exhortation has a wider application. It refers to others as well, and I'll tell you why in just a little bit. Being kind and compassionate involves a number of considerations, and Paul lists some of them first. He says we should carefully watch how we talk. For Paul, that means avoiding unwholesome talk. Unwholesome. The word unwholesome means something that is detrimental to the physical, mental, or moral well-being of people. It also means not good, and likely to have a bad effect on our lives. As you all know, I'm sure there is such a thing as unwholesome food. You know, I've heard some people say, the only thing I like to eat is either sinful or it is wrong or unhealthy. And I think I can identify with that just a little bit, because there are some things that I like to eat that are not exactly wholesome or healthy. But that's only one thing. To some extent, there's also such a thing as unwholesome habits. For instance, smoking is considered unhealthy, but regular exercise is thought to be beneficial. I'm simply trying to explain what unwholesome means. Paul says there is a way of talking that is unwholesome. This is more than simply using crude language that we call cursing. Those of us who are Christians have to be careful how we talk. Why? Because other people are listening. Some people are so negative, hostile, critical, and cruel in the way that they talk that everybody avoids talking to them. And here's a couple of other examples of unwholesome talk. One descriptive word that causes a lot of trouble is gossip. You know what gossip is. It's definitely unwholesome. A person's reputation and life can be damaged and even ruined by the spreading of half-truths and outright lies. We've seen that happen not too long ago when someone's reputation was called into a question, and there were things said about him that almost destroyed his life and his family and his well-being. As Christians, we should never, ever be party to listening or to repeating gossip, because it is hurtful. It is harmful. Another type of unwholesome talk is that which tears others down. As Christians, we should never be found doing that either. Paul said that We should talk in a helpful, beneficial way, in a way that builds other people up. We can either build people up or we can tear them down according to whatever they might have need of. Paul says that we should live to build people up. I've talked about this before, but it is so important. There are people whose lives have literally been destroyed, have been ruined because something that was said to them, either by their parents, maybe a teacher, or some other authority figure, and put them down or talked negative to them and made them feel bad about themselves and made them feel like they could never do anything good or never do anything right. And it had a very bad effect on their lives and the way they looked at themselves and the way they lived. However, a word, a right word spoken just at the right time can strengthen other people. It can help other people. It can lift other people up. I know that I'm very thankful that during a time in my life when I was sort of down and I needed some encouragement, there was a person who spoke just the right word to me. And it encouraged me. And it caused me not to give up, but to keep going on. And that's what we can do as Christians. We can help one another. I'll always be thankful for that person who told me not to give up. If we see a fellow Christian who is struggling in some way or another, we can come alongside that person and we can lift that person up, or we can stand with them or walk with them, and we can help that person to the extent that we are able to. It has always bothered me when people, especially Christians, are so quick to judge others and to tear other people down or to cause people to realize that maybe there's something wrong with them. Believe the worst about them. We should never do that as Christians. We've seen recently how that works. How when the media rushes to judgment instead of pursuing the real story based on facts, how that can hurt someone. We just never know, my friends, what someone is going through. You've heard the old expression, we walk a mile in someone else's shoes. You put yourself in their place. You try to think, what are they going through? What's happening in their lives? Why are they doing the things they're doing? Why are they saying the things they're saying? There's usually a reason. We don't know what they're going through at the time, what battle they may be fighting. We can, however, purpose in our hearts to help others and never knowingly or purposely hurt them in any way. Along with that, Paul also talks about how we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. In order not to do that, he mentions some things we need to get rid of in our lives as Christians. Those things are bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. You've heard the expression that we can quench the Holy Spirit, or we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He is a living person that lives inside of us. And when we do things that are wrong, or we say things that are bad, when we hold on to such harmful ways and attitudes, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We make Him sad, in other words. And we don't want to do that as Christians. Paul exhorts us as Christians to be kind and compassionate. Actually, those two ways of being are closely related, for if we view others in a compassionate way, it will surely cause us to be kinder in our dealings with them. The word compassion means sympathetic concerns for the misfortunes of others. Sympathetic concern. The way I define compassion is that it causes us to feel something, but it also causes us to do something. If we aren't careful, living in the world that is filled with so much evil and violence could cause us to close up our hearts just to defend ourselves just for our own protection, to become callous and sort of indifferent. But we can't allow ourselves to do that. We must guard our hearts and keep them soft and sensitive and pliable in the Lord's hands. When we see people in need, whether in real life or on TV, how does that make us feel? How do we feel when we see people in need? Are we moved emotionally and spiritually by the heartaches of others? As I said, it's easy for us to gloss over these things and become hard and not allow ourselves to be moved. When was the last time that we shed a tear or two as we suffered, as we witnessed the suffering and sorrow of others? You know, there are two recorded incidents in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that we are told that caused Jesus to weep. One was prior to entering Jerusalem for the last time. He wept over the city because he knew that they were about to reject him. And because he knew that in that rejection, there would be great suffering. He felt great sorrow for the people there, knowing what was about to happen in their lives because of their rejection of him. The other incident occurred when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. You remember that incident? We are told that he wept just before he raised Lazarus up from the dead. He felt great sympathy for the loss of Lazarus, even though he knew exactly what he was about to do. He knew he was going to raise him up. He was going to give him life again. Were these the only times that Jesus wept? I doubt it. Jesus was sensitive to the needs of others. And I'm sure he encountered other dire situations that caused him to feel empathy for them. In fact, we are told that when Jesus looked out upon the crowds, when he saw the people that were like sheep without a shepherd, what did he feel? He felt compassion. He felt sorrow. He was moved to compassion because they were so needy and he wanted to help them. But more than just feeling something, however, compassion also means doing something. When Jesus was moved to compassion, he didn't just feel sorry for the people. He also did something about it. He did something. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He delivered those who were in bondage. And he preached and he taught the good news of the kingdom to all who were down and out, who needed to hear an encouraging word, who needed to be lifted up in the Lord. In the same way, we can do that. We can't do everything, but we can do something. We can do whatever it is we're able to do when we see someone in need. The first thing we should do is pray and ask the Lord if we are supposed to get involved personally, and then ask what specifically we can do. If we ask the Lord, he knows what is best and he can guide us in that. The reason why we need to pray first is that God sees the complete picture. We might see only just a small little part of it. And we might act out of really ignorance. We ask the Lord to show us what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to get involved. James said in his letter, "Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, 'I wish you well,' and does nothing to help that person, what is the good in that?" It's like saying to someone who is hungry, "Well, I hope you find some food somewhere." Or somebody who has other need, "I hope you get some help that you need." James was saying that we are called as Christians to do more than that. We have to be concerned about people's needs. We have to have compassion in our hearts for those in need. And if we do, we will want to take action in some way or another. There are many individuals and groups who are doing such ministries, who are doing that kind of work today. I don't know about you, but we get many, many letters every day, every week, asking for help. Different ministries that are ministering to people in various ways. We have to pray about that, about which ones that are worthy of our support, which ones we should give money to or in some way or another become involved with. We can at least support those who do the work itself if we can't do it ourselves. We should not feel guilty if we're unable to do something, but rather do what we're able to do. You know, the social justice movement came about as Christians realized that they had a responsibility not only for the spiritual needs of people, but for the physical needs as well. In some circles, I fear that there's a tendency to make that the whole concern, when people also have spiritual needs. You know, it's ministering to the whole person. Of course, people have physical needs, but they also have spiritual needs. We don't want to neglect either one. All of this that I've been saying brings us to the place where Paul began in today's scripture when he said, "Be kind to one another." As I mentioned previously, he was talking about Christians and the way we treat one another. We're supposed to treat one another with kindness, which also means forgiving one another when we say or do something that hurts a fellow believer. Of course, we realize that being kind, having a kind attitude or a kind character, is all a part of the love of God that He puts within our hearts. We are able to love others because God has first loved us. Through Jesus, we forgive one another for the same reason that He forgave us. And He said, "You must forgive." We were talking about some particular person recently, about an attitude that that person had about someone who had done something wrong. They said outwardly, "I will never forgive that person." This was a Christian person talking. "I will never forgive that person." Jesus said, and made it about as clear as it can be made, that unless we forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And our forgiveness depends on our willingness to forgive others. The church ought to be a place where people can come and expect to be treated with kindness. Some churches are so legalistic that they drive people away with their judgmental attitude. Others are so soft on accountability, what has been called sloppy agape, that people are given false hope. That, my friends, is an anemic brand of Christianity. And it's not what we want. As you probably know, kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And even if we aren't naturally kind, and I think some people really are, they're just naturally kind. But even if we aren't that way, the Holy Spirit will work to develop that particular characteristic in us, to make us kind. Why? Because that's the way Jesus was. And because He's changing us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. You know, when non-Christians see those who represent the church exhibiting compassion and kindness, I believe it makes an impression. I believe it makes a good impression. And I believe that it can also cause other people to be drawn in to that atmosphere of kindness and love and concern and compassion. In the early days, the first century of the church, when it first started out, the people who are called pagans, who were out in the world, and they were witnessing the Christians, how they lived and how they treated one another, they said about them, "See how they love one another." And you know, I think they were impressed by that. And I think it drew those people into that loving atmosphere. That's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to show that kind of kindness, that kind of compassion, and that kind of love to others. And as we do that, as we extend that to those who are outside, I believe with all my heart that we will make an impact. It will have an effect. And others will be touched by it. And they will be drawn to the Lord through it. I believe, my friends, that is exactly what we are called to do and to be. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for touching our hearts and lives. We thank You for showing us compassion and kindness. We thank You for Your sympathy toward us when we didn't deserve it or didn't earn it. We thank You for Your grace and Your love. We pray, our God, that You will help us to show that same kind of compassion and kindness to those who are in need, to our fellow Christians, to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, forgiving one another even as You've forgiven us. Help us, Father. Help us to be kind to one another. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.